engines going on. Feeling in my heart, sensing something's wrong. Gotta save the future, put the rumors to rest. Gotta help the children and give it the best can. Send the run and be blind to the past can. Taking no more, how can they relax?
When change comes over time, how few stop to consider the departure from what was. We're all free-falling into completely uncharted territory in countless ways. And if you think the ride was rough last year, hang on. It's just getting started. This is Dane Wigington. You're listening to the commercial-free Real News Q&A Hour. If you wish to ring in with a question about the COVID-19 scenario and agenda, or the ongoing climate engineering operations that have so radically altered our once thriving state, along with so much of the world, please let us know your question. The station number is 605-4567. Northern California weather continues to whiplash back and forth from far warmer than average and dry to drizzling and cold, with a short round of chemically ice-nucleated snow that fell last week just to convince populations that winter is alive and well on a planet that's descending into total meltdown. And with such temporary cool downs, most forget about the blackened mountains that now surround Redding and the forested regions that have not yet incinerated. They're all in a state of die-off. And about the ability of climate engineers to create frozen precipitation events out of what should have been a liquid precipitation event. This is hard science. In fact, the Chinese government was not so covert about it going back just over a decade, I believe in 2008 or 2009. Popular Science and Fox News covered the fact that they were chemically nucleating weather systems over parts of China. They did $1 billion worth of damage to Beijing, China, with their heavy, wet, nucleated material. It creates a heavy, wet snow that does a great deal of damage. And the Chinese government has since gone underground, because after the second or third event of this chemically nucleated material, citizens were not happy about what they were doing, and now they've gone underground. But if the Chinese government can do it, we certainly know our government can do it, with a military that's bigger than the next 10 largest militaries combined. So the bottom line is, people have been trained to think that climate engineering is some sort of future proposal, because the bought and paid for climate science community continues to pretend it's some future proposal. It's been going on for 70 plus years. And why wouldn't the government do this? Do we think they would ask our permission? Did they ask our permission before they detonated over 2,000 nuclear bombs all over the world? No, they don't ask permission for things like this. They just do it because they can, because they can easily convince citizens that it's not so. It's just some conspiracy theory. Go back to sleep. And that's sadly the situation we're in, not just with climate engineering, but with the CV-19 scenario as well. And about the frozen material that just fell in Redding, again, it's a chemically nucleated snow. The process for doing so are patented and have been for decades. We have some of these patents posted at geoengineeringwatch.org. And as I said, many countries have long since been engaged in this type of cloud seeding with chemical ice nucleating elements. And these are endothermic reacting particles. They're energy absorbing particles, which have a number of profound impacts on the cloud moisture. They create a cold, dense layer of air that sinks to ground level and then creates various forms of frozen precipitation depending on the temperatures and moisture content available. And geoengineeringwatch.org lab tested the big snow event in Redding that I believe happened 3 years ago. As expected, it contained climate engineering elements, including surfactants, which, along with heavy metals and polymers. But the surfactants make the frozen material extremely slick, comparable to soap, like soap-soaked snow. Surfactants are, in fact, a core element in soap. And more colder weather is scheduled for Redding for the next 7 to 10 days, but that could change, of course. The rain is scheduled to stop as we head into next week and back to a much drier than normal pattern. It's all up to the climate engineers. I know we have a caller online. I'll get to that in a moment. A couple more points I want to cover. But along with the constantly highly toxic weather warfare being waged on California and the world as a whole, the power structure assault on populations with the lab-created CV-19 pathogen continues. That assault includes mask mandates, which, statistically speaking, medically speaking, are doing far more harm than good. And there is ample data to back this up, and that data is increasing rapidly. Of course, if someone was sick and right in front of you and about to sneeze, you'd want them to have a mask on. But aside from that, the constant mask wearing of healthy people, even the or agencies like the World Health Organization and the CDC have stated in the past that healthy individuals should not wear masks. And this is something that's now been swept under the rug. Prior to 2020, you had about 13 plus science studies from 2005 to 2020 that stated the long list of negatives with constant mask wearing. And that list is extensive, and I'll get to that in a moment as well. At 2020, suddenly we have six new studies that say anything is fine. In fact, the studies prior to 2020 made clear that masks, including an N95, could not stop a virus. Now we have six new studies that suddenly have changed their conclusions completely and say anything is fine. A bandana, a modified sock, it's all good. Wear it all day long. Wear it every day. And this is completely contradictory to available science on the effects of long-term mask use. And the COVID-19 scenario as a whole, along with the experimental injections that are causing a cascading wave of injury and mortality, those that think that this is just an accident, stop to consider that those that are running the CV-19 scenario, those like Bill Gates, for example, have long since stated on the record that global populations need to be brought down. It's a matter of fact in regard to what they've stated on the record. And also consider that governments all over the world are acutely aware of the fact that they can no longer support their populations due to collapsing ecosystems. Connect the dots. And those that don't know that ecosystems are collapsing because our mainstream media is filled with political theater day in and day out, please research what's happening around the world. The oceans are collapsing, fisheries are collapsing, crops are collapsing. Just because Walmart's open and McDonald's is selling Big Macs doesn't mean that everything's okay. We need to look past the immediate horizon, and the wider horizon is bleak indeed. On that note, here's an example of what's happening with the vaccinations. Example report, and I'll get to that caller in line again in a moment, but I want to give one example of the kind of reports that are coming in. And here's a statement from this report from multiple mainstream sources. In what is becoming an almost daily report of massive nursing home deaths following injections of experimental mRNA COVID shots, a nursing home in the UK is reporting over one-third of their residents have died after receiving the mRNA experimental COVID injections. Report continues. We are now seeing a very predictable pattern as we are reporting all over the world where the elderly are dying at a very alarming rate following mass vaccinations of the experimental mRNA injections. And in all of these cases, the report states, the local media is quoting local officials as saying that, quote, vaccines have nothing to do with the deaths, end quote. Report continues. They are also stating that deaths following the experimental mRNA injections are, quote, expected. The report then states this: how can people keep believing this is true? This is now happening all over the world in many locations, and we are just supposed to accept by faith that COVID outbreaks happen simultaneously with mass injections, but that there's no connection to the injections. Stop and think about this. Let's just ponder this as we go, and I'll grab the call in 1 second. That death of anything seems to be attributed to COVID, and this is well documented. We have deaths from all sorts of comorbidities that are attributed to COVID, or even in some cases we had injury from traffic accidents and other scenarios that were attributed to COVID. But yet when we have individuals dying immediately after being vaccinated, and the list is long and growing, official sources refuse to acknowledge that connection. How tainted can the system be? And again, those in the medical field are dependent on the system, the status quo, and they're apparently willing to go along with whatever they're told to go along with so long as it provides a paycheck and a pension. Where is morality in this equation? Where is it? Jared, do we have a caller on the line right now? Do we have Anonymous on the line?
We do.
Yep, let's patch that through and see if we can keep the conversation going here. Hello, this
good morning.
You there? Can you hear me, Anonymous?
Yes, sir. Good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
Thank you. What are your thoughts on And have you seen some of the data on the mortality that's happening in, for example, the nursing homes in many locations related to the mRNA
shots? I have. Absolutely. And I'm glad you used the word experimental. America's frontline doctors recommend that people use that word experimental in front of the word vaccine every time, because that's exactly what it is. It was never granted approval by the FDA to be used on human beings. And it was only granted what they call an emergency use authorization, which means there are no long-term studies on this concoction to determine a number of things. The number two and number one things that they do not yet know: does it affect fertility long-term? And does it, or to what extent is there an antibody-dependent enhancement, like in other words, a hypersensitization of the immune system, where you get this experimental vaccine and down the road you get exposed to, COVID-19 virus floating out there in the environment, and your immune system is so hypersensitized to it because your DNA has been changed to code for the spike protein on the virus, so you're making antibodies all the time to your own body, which is an autoimmune disease, and you actually get exposed to the virus post-vaccination, and your body has an overwhelming immune response. Some people call that a cytokine storm. It can lead to multi-organ failure. And yes, there are particularly healthcare workers, because they're some of the first to get this. There have been numerous cases all over the world of people dying from the experimental vaccine within hours to a few days, and also people, if they didn't die, developing severe neurologic diseases from it.
Well, this is, have you seen, by chance, Anonymous, there's a video by a doctor, I think Lee Merrill, I think is her name, that a very credentialed Western medical physician that's speaking out about the mRNA and the fact that it is, data indicates it amounts to a binary weapon, exactly parallel with what you just described, that it's, even if a person gets over the initial side effects, it is, in a sense, loading the immune system for an over-response when an element is encountered later, and that immune system then literally attacks organs, and the kind of scenario that we're seeing that is being attributed just to the COVID pathogen alone, but this sort of binary weapon scenario seems to apply here, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I think her last name is Merritt with a T.
I just watched her video a few days ago. Yeah. Merritt.
And she was not only an orthopedic surgeon for many, many years, she also worked with the military. So she has some pretty good inside information on how things work. Absolutely it is.
And it's for those that – too many Americans have simply – been programmed too well to believe their government would never do anything like this. And so let's look at historical record. When we know, as of 1977, there were a matter of publication. There had been 239 open air biological tests conducted by the U.S. military on U.S. civilians. How many people know this? I mean, this is not disputed. It's historical fact. This is business as usual. Look at how the military treats their own soldiers and exposes them to all kinds of experiments without the soldiers understanding what they're a part of, and they're simply used for cannon fodder. So, I mean, this is something Americans need to come to grips with. This is not just other countries and other governments that do this to their citizens. Our government is actively involved, and when we look at the people that are, again, a core part of this, individuals like Gates and Kissinger and the rest that have long since stated there are too many people on the planet, and mathematically and statistically speaking, that fact is really not rationally arguable, but who gives them the right to decide who lives and who dies? And that's the equation we face, is it not?
Yeah, absolutely. In 2010, Bill Gates was on record publicly saying in a speech, and I quote, "The world today," this was 10 years ago, 2010, actually almost 11 years ago. He said, "The world today has 6.8 billion people. That's heading up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%. verbatim, straight from the horse's mouth. 10 to 15% population reduction is what he's calling for. That was almost 11 years ago.
I've heard that quote in the record, and shouldn't that alarm people to have that kind of a quote? How does that fit together exactly, that if we get the vaccinations right, we can lower populations? And it this should be – let me quote one more news article that many probably haven't – I'm sure haven't heard here from any mainstream source. But this is, again, what's happening after the injection takes place. Here's from this report from multiple sources. The largest mass injection campaign that has happened so far occurred in Israel, and the data shows that over 12,000 people became infected with COVID-19 after the injections. Consider that. And this is, again, happening in nursing homes. It's this major event in Israel, and we have yet total denial. In fact, across-the-board denial from all official sources that there could be any connection. When the dots are so clearly intertwined here, why would we not come to such a conclusion? I mean, we have physicians. You saw the physician in Florida that died shortly after his injection there. Did you not? A healthy physician that died, I think, within 2 or 3 days after his injection. Did you see that as well?
Yes, sir. He was also having hallucinations prior to his death.
So, again, with these vaccinations, Anonymous, it seems you have a background in the medical field, and
yes, I'm a physician. Yes,
that's true. Then correct, and your feeling about the blind trust of the population, that they at this point are so traumatized that they just want to do whatever they're told in the hope that their life will go back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you see?
Basically, yes. This is similar to what happened after 9/11, where it's basically post-traumatic stress disorder. Some people call it problem reaction solution, where the government engineers the problem, let's say the bombing of New York City, traumatizing people horrendously. What that does is it puts people in an altered state of their minds in an altered state that's very, very suggestible. And then the government comes in and says, well, no problem, we have the solution right here. It might have been the Patriot Act, in 2001, where it might be, oh, we have COVID experimental vaccines, whatever it might be. But they always have the solution ready to hand out to people. Once people are sufficiently traumatized, that they will go to the government asking for them to save them.
Yeah, and 9/11 is a stellar example of that. I mean, that completely galvanized the U.S. population into absolutely blind support of whatever the military-industrial complex wanted to do. And you may have probably seen, 1 week after 9/11, General Wesley Clark, the former NATO Supreme Commander, was given the list of countries in the Middle East that were on the hit list immediately after 9/11. Obviously, a list that was made up before 9/11, as the Patriot Act obviously was made up before 9/11. And when we look at PNAC, Project for a New American Century, the think tank, which include Dick Cheney, Wolfowitz, and many other war hawks, 1 year before 9/11, on the record, they stated they needed a, quote, new Pearl Harbor to galvanize this blind, unquestioning support for their agendas. And suddenly it appears. And that's no accident. I mean, are we to believe that some foreign pilots that couldn't even fly a Cessna could fly these aircraft in the manner they did? Are we to believe that our U.S. military couldn't find airlines that had been hijacked flying around in airspace over the U.S. for almost 2 hours? And this is absurd.
Right.
And people that go along or refuse to look at this. And have you seen, Anonymous, the 9/11 architects and engineers documentary called Experts Speak Out, 3,000 of the world's top architects and engineers exposing the fact that now peer-reviewed science study proves Building 7, the World Trade Center complex, a 47-story steel structure high-rise was brought down by controlled demolitions. Have you seen that documentary by chance?
I have. It was profound and startling, to say the least.
And the proof of, and anybody that looks at Building 7 coming down in its own footprint, free-falling in 7 seconds, never got hit by anything, it doesn't take a huge amount of knowledge to see that for what it is. It's obviously controlled demolitions. And Geoengine Westerberg has left, for those listening in the Shasta County region, there are commercial copies of this DVD at Orchard Nutrition for free. We've left about 4 dozen copies there for free. You just talk to the staff in the vitamin section, and they will provide you a copy, and we ask you please just share it with others. And how many people we have in the Reading area that claim to be patriotic, and yet they refuse to look at a fact that glaring, that this is clearly an inside job. 9/11 was a false flag scenario. And let's, again, connect that all the way up to the current scenario, when we have the statistics we have, for example, in Shasta County on, let's just take the mass scenario back to that, and the agendas being carried out with the CV-19 scenario with those who knew it was coming, like Bill Gates, who conducted full mock exercises of COVID-19 global outbreak. And I'm sure you've seen that, correct, Anonymous? You've seen that, the event 201 that happened immediately prior to the outbreak. We had a Bill Gates orchestrated event that was an exact mock drill of exactly what's happening.
And absolutely. Just like the mock drills NORAD was doing on 9/11.
Same. Exactly the same. Same. They had a mock drill before the Spain train bombing. Same thing. So, I mean,
these
dots are going to have to connect. Then we look at the impact, the health impact now on the population, and the psychological impact, and the masks are a psychological impact to the population as well, correct? Would you not agree with that, that that's very impactful, especially the children, to be forced to wear this mask constantly? I mean, we're seeing science study about the psychological impact of children, correct?
God knows, yes. Especially when you see people driving by themselves down the road in their car with the windows up, and they're still wearing a mask. They're petrified.
Which is shocking. So now let's look at on the mass scenario in Shasta County. I've cited this on other broadcasts, on the Global Alert News broadcast, which listeners can find at geoengineering.org. It's a weekly one-hour update as well. But in Shasta County, before the mask mandate, the official COVID-19 infection rate was hovering at about 30. Since the mask mandate, that rate is now, the official rate is over 10,300, and that's about a 35,000% increase. On a percentage basis, that's about 35,000% increase. How well is that working out? And again, if people understood what a mask actually does, the negative effects, then they would perhaps be able to more clearly see that these mandates are not about the greater good. And again, it's not to negate that a mask is necessary in a surgical or a medical setting, like an N95 is meant for a sterile environment. Is that's correct, Anonymous?
Typically, the N95s, from my experience, are either used in a sterile setting, like in the operating room, particularly if there's tuberculosis or other types of things that may be a concern from a respiratory standpoint, or they may be, in some cases, used for industrial purposes where there's fine particulate matter that the employees are getting exposed to.
But those masks clog quickly because of that, though. They're not meant for an open-air environment. And again, to wear any of those masks constantly, and we know people aren't changing their masks, and we see people, how many people in a bandana or some sort of modified material not meant to block any sort of pathogenic element, and even if an N95 based on side study prior to 2020 can't block a virus, isn't this not only a false sense of security, but actually the rebreathing of one's own exhaust, the incubation of elements that occurs within those masks, is that not a horrific danger?
Absolutely. Plus the increasing carbon dioxide levels you're breathing.
As well, you create an anoxic situation in the blood. Well, let's carry
Absolutely.
This a little further. Here's a new report that's just been issued last week from a science institution. Here's the title: Long-Term Mask Use May Contribute to Advanced Stage Lung Cancer, Study Finds. From this report, a recent study in the journal Cancer Discovery found that inhalation of harmful microbes that contribute to advanced stage lung cancer in adults, long-term use of face masks may help breed these dangerous pathogens. The report continues. Microbiologists agreed that frequent mask wearing creates a moist environment in which microbes are allowed to grow and proliferate before entering the lungs. Those foreign microbes then travel down the trachea into the tubes called the bronchi, and they reach smaller air sacs covered in blood vessels called alveoli. The lungs were long thought to be sterile, but we now know that oral commensals, microbes normally found in the mouth, frequently enter the lungs due to unconscious aspirations. According to the study, after invading the lungs, these microbes cause an inflammatory response in proteins known as cytokine IL-17. While analyzing the lung microbes of 83 untreated adults with lung cancer, the researcher team discovered that colonies of these various elements, including Streptococcus, may be cultivated through prolonged mask wearing. All are found in large quantities in patients with advanced stage lung cancer, also in early stages. Additionally, the research into the cultivation of these bacterial elements in the lungs of mice found that the presence of such bacteria lead to the emergence of immune-suppressing cells as well as inflammatory ones such as the cytokine IL-17. In addition to this, we have dentists that have been warning about a phenomenon known as mask mouth, in which patients are arriving back to the dental office with an increase in gingivitis and tooth decay as high as 50% in a period of just a few months since the mask mandates began. The list is long and growing and very dire, and yet we have no mention of this anywhere in mainstream media or from any official source, do we? None.
That's exactly right. And then you see people like Governor Gavin Newsom a few months ago, who was seen in town having a very nice dinner at a fancy restaurant with family and friends, not socially distanced and not wearing masks. Exactly the opposite of what he was telling his own his own population in his state to do. Complete hypocrite.
Yeah, Gavin's a real piece of work. And as I've mentioned on other broadcasts, I had a private meeting with Gavin in his office in the Capitol and his top aide on a climate engineering issue. That meeting was arranged for me by some financial industry individuals who manage money for the Newsoms and the Gettys, and they're aware of the climate engineering issue. And Gavin and his aide could not dispute the data presented on climate engineering. They did not dispute it, but yet they've never mentioned it since. They simply pretend that the meeting never occurred, and they continue to toe the line for the power structure, and that's what all of these people do. This is where all roads lead back to those who print the money. And this is, you've probably heard, Anonymous, if you've been at this for a while, that how many people ask, who are they? Who's behind this? Who's ultimately pulling the strings? And all roads lead back to those who print the money. They control militaries, thus they control countries. And in the case of the U.S. dollar, which is the global reserve currency, they've been able to print whatever they want for whatever they want. The Pentagon, we know, is missing $30 trillion since the late 90s. Where did they get that $30 trillion to begin with, in addition to their normal budget? And what else are they missing that we don't even know about? And that's what runs these black ops organizations. So getting back to Newsom, down to the state government level and even down to the local county government level, those who control the flow of money control the narrative. They control the behavior of everybody along the way, which is sad but true. Most are more worried about their own personal paradigm or their paychecks and pensions than they are about doing what is right. But that is certainly the case with Gavin Newsom. He will do whatever he's told. The state's missing about $30 billion or $50 billion every year, something in that range. Where does that deficit go every year? And it comes from the central bankers, ultimately, and they keep the state afloat. So the bottom line, it's the money printers who are controlling the entire scenario that we face. The population had better wake up to that fast, because we are rapidly running out of time. And it's in your circles, Anonymous, I have another call I'll get to in a moment here, but in your circles, are you seeing, if your circles are in the medical industry, in fact, are you seeing the behavior of your colleagues more dictated by the fear of losing their paycheck and pension than doing what's right?
Absolutely. My hospital is pushing for all it's worth, as if their life depended upon it, to make everyone in our hospital system get vaccinated. In fact, I actually was so concerned by the recent ratcheting up of your rhetoric about this insane experimental vaccine push that my hospital system's doing. I got legal counsel, and I put them on notice, the chief of staff, chief medical officer, chief financial officer, and the chief executive officer. I put the whole group of them on notice legally that I was formally invoking my legal and constitutional rights, because we have a number of them. Everything from the First Amendment guaranteeing the free exercise of your religion, the Fourth Amendment guaranteeing your right to be secure in your person, and the 14th Amendment guaranteeing your right not to be deprived of life, liberty, or property. And if I can make one last quick point, my attorney, who is an employment constitutional attorney, gave me some advice. He said certain industries can mandate vaccines for certain things. However, there are two exemptions from this. One, he said, is if there is a documented history of a medical or allergic type reaction to certain vaccines that would make it a dangerous thing for you to get. But the most important one, he said, is the First Amendment, which guarantees your right to freely practice your religion. And he said that because of this, they will not be able to get away with mandating a vaccine against, in this case, my personal religious viewpoint on me. And he said if they ever try it, he said that what we'll do is file a complaint with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. You have 180 days to do it. They go into mediation with the, in this case, the hospital system. And if it's unsuccessful, we go straight to federal court.
So that may be citizens helpful do have a remedy. I mean, this is a remedy that others can use
absolutely
as well, correct?
It's called the Constitution, absolutely. The number one, the most important one, and there are other parts, but the most important one is the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights, which guarantees each human being as a sovereign citizen the right to freely practice their religious views. And if your religious views dictate that you don't take vaccines, you can take that straight to the court system. And this is federal court. This is federal employment law we're talking about.
Let's carry this a bit further, because anyone who questions the safety and efficacy of vaccinations is stigmatized in our society, and those in power have gone to great lengths to do that. You're not even allowed to ask a question about what's in the shot that's about to be injected permanently into your body, and that's a very dangerous place to be. So let's look at other – if I can carry this a bit further. We know that with the Blue Cross Blue Shield physicians that they are paid – $400 per child, the pediatricians, excuse me, for a child that receives their full sets of vaccinations by age two. We know that if they don't administer the full vac set to at least, I believe, 63% of their patients, they lose their entire bonus, in many cases six figures.
Yeah.
As a member of the medical industry, do you not find that to be an unbelievably glaring conflict of interest?
Absolutely. It's a violation, first and foremost, of the Hippocratic Oath, which is based upon the principle of doing no harm. And if you know anything about Dr. Andrew Wakefield and other people who have been involved in the study of the relationship between the rapidly increasing numbers of vaccines given to young people and the concomitant rapidly increasing numbers of autism in the world,
let's put some statistics behind that. Thank you for bringing it up, and let's put that into statistical form, because I'm very familiar with these stats. So we had in the mid-70s, we had approximately officially 1 in 10,000 children in the U.S. with autism. Now today, we have conservatively, in the case of boys, 1 in 25. From 1 in 10,000 to 1 in 25, that's a 40,000% increase, 40,000%. In direct lockstep with the increase in vaccinations, and I believe kids now get about 70 by the time they're out of high school, isn't it? It's 69 or 70, is that correct?
Latest number is 83.
83, God, I mean, how hard is it to connect these dots? And we know that in case of adjuvants like mercury and aluminum, we know they're neurotoxins. They can't not do damage. And how hard is this to connect? And yet we have the whole of the medical industry, because their paychecks and pensions depend on them, pretending that this is not doing harm. Are we not living in an asylum at this point?
Without any doubt. This makes the Twilight Zone look normal.
Let's look at the Hep B that's given to kids within, less than an hour of them being born. from the data that I've examined on the Hep B shot, and they are determined to give the child that shot at any cost. In fact, I know a couple in Reading that did not want that shot, and the local hospital in Reading actually called law enforcement to try to intimidate them into taking that shot. That's how bent they are on administering that shot. So medically speaking, that child doesn't have an immune system that can do anything with a vaccination until, I think, 1 or 2 years, and they're not exposed to Hep B unless they're having sex or doing drugs. What is that Hep B shot really about? Your thoughts?
It's about medical tyranny, and people had better stand up quickly, lawyer up, and be prepared to fully invoke their legal and constitutional rights as sovereign citizens of this country and as creations of our Creator.
Let's carry this a bit further now. Let's look at some of the Bill Gates' former programs in India and Africa.
Oh, yeah.
Massive carnage. We know the polio program in India is officially attributed as having damaged almost 500,000 children, and the Indian government pursuing Gates legally. Same in Africa, and the African government, or officials in African governments, making the assertion and pursuing it legally that these vaccinations were in fact sterilizing their population. So when that's a stated purpose of the Gates Foundation, and we have those massive events to correlate with that, back to the Hep B, what's in that shot? Why are they so bent on giving that shot when it's medically, scientifically, completely inappropriate, at minimum, and highly dangerous, more likely? What is this all about? And are we that far into completely nefarious waters? And I would argue, if one looks at the data, the answer is a resounding yes. Would you agree with that?
I would. I don't know how any other conclusion can be arrived at.
And then if we carry this to, again, I want to correlate, because I try to focus on the greatest threats that we face, the greatest and most immediate threats. And I would argue right now at this point, again, it's certainly biosphere collapse related. Climate engineering is a core part of that factor, and the very real assault on the population right now, which is what CV-19 is. So these are existential threats. And in regard to what's being sprayed into our skies, these are known toxic elements, again, nanoparticles of heavy metals, polymers. These elements are not only very detrimental to the human organism, they're detrimental to the entire web of life. They're highly inflammatory to the respiratory system, making us more susceptible to any pathogen. And we know these elements are there. We know they're in the air column. We've had lab tests from all over the globe. GeoengineWatch.org. At great expense and great difficulty, acquired a NOAA flying lab, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration lab that they use. We've tested the elements being emitted from heavy aircraft at altitude, and we hope to have a film out called The Dimming. I hope in the next 4 weeks it'll be available for free online as soon as we're done, but we show the footage of our atmospheric testing and the lab processing of those tests, showing exactly what we expected to find, climate engineering particles being emitted from heavy aircraft, which are so blatantly visible in our skies, and yet people accept this as being just condensation. And that's the greatest lie, I would argue, ever perpetrated on populations, that this sky-covering filth being emitted from jet aircraft, which is clearly climate engineering, solar radiation management, is just, quote, condensation. We have film footage. Anonymous, have you seen the film footage that we have of aircraft, KC-10s, KC-135s, military tankers, nozzles visible at altitude, turning a dispersion on and off that cannot be condensation? Have you seen any of that type of film footage that we have at Geoengineering Watch?
I have, and I've been a sky watcher for decades, mostly looking at sunrises, sunsets, and the stars at night, but I'm always out looking at the skies. I've been seeing this for years, way before I even found out about your website, geoengineeringwatch.org. I just watched a plane just a few days ago turning on, off, on, off, on, off. And
so
there's no way a high... Go ahead.
Go ahead. Continue. Go ahead.
The high bypass turbofan engines cannot create that amount of water vapor anyway, and they certainly couldn't do it sporadically on, off, on, off. So something's definitely being sprayed, for sure.
Thank you for bringing that up. In fact, many people, or most, would be unaware of that. All commercial carriers and all military tankers are fitted with a high-bypass turbofan jet engine. It's a jet-powered fan. And 90% of the air that moves through that engine is not combusted. So by design, it is nearly incapable of producing any condensation trail except under rare and extreme circumstances. And that's incredibly important to understand that fact. So we have, let's tie this together from the climate science community to the medical industrial complex community. How many do we have that are basically pretending that clearly identifiable falsehoods are, in fact, true, and when they're not? And again, from the condensation trail narrative, which is a blatant lie, to the vaccinations don't do harm narrative, which is a blatant lie. And how many do we have in these fields of academia, the so-called experts that we're told to trust, that are basically lying for a paycheck and a pension? Is that what it amounts to?
Sure, it seems like it. That's what I'm seeing at my hospital. In fact, now my hospital, I just got an email this morning from the chief medical officer of my hospital system, which is the largest hospital system in my particular state on the East Coast. And they are strongly encouraging us to do everything that we can to change the minds of what they call people who have vaccine, that's a new phrase, vaccine hesitancy. We're supposed to bring them around and show them the light and prove to them these vaccines are completely safe and harmless.
How clear is this agenda being carried out? I mean, how incredibly clear is it that those who control the purse strings are controlling this narrative? They are absolutely carrying out agendas right now, and thinning the herd is clearly a core part of that agenda. How clear can this be? And the population doesn't want to face this. And if we look at the backdrop of biosphere collapse, again, this is statistical data. This is not some opinion. It's not a theory, conjecture, hypothesis. We have fisheries collapsing around the globe. Global pelagic fish population is down about 90%+. Global bluefin tuna down 98%. Crops crashing all over the globe. We have 2 billion people that depend on protein from the sea every single day. They're not going to be around much longer. That's a fact of the matter. And once there's not enough to go around, chaos and carnage will immediately ensue. This is the law of the jungle. It's certainly, there's no arguing that's going to happen, and those in power know it. They know this is coming. Why in the world would we think that those in power would not carry out plans to cull populations? Why? And I know how unpalatable that thought is to people, how completely adverse they are to even pondering such a thought, but don't all these dots lead to that conclusion? They absolutely do. Would you agree with that, Anonymous?
100%. And you know, whether it's the idea of any type of vaccine being in the future mandated, or whether it's the things that are being sprayed over our heads in the air that we're breathing in with every breath we take, those are things that are being done or that would be done in the case of mandated vaccines against our will. And again, I would encourage the listeners to look very carefully at the Constitution, particularly Amendments 1, 4, and 14. It also, the principle of this being done to us also violates the Nuremberg Code.
It does. And this is,
again, experimentation.
People should, if they stood back and actually analyzed everything we know to date, they would, I believe, be justifiably alarmed. And in the vaccination situation, we're told now we're going to have to have a vaccine passport, a vaccine to be able to function in society. So what are we also told about the vaccines, though? Does this make sense? So we're told the vaccines don't give immunity, don't eliminate the virus, don't prevent death, won't guarantee you won't get it, don't prevent you from getting it, they don't stop you from passing it on, they don't eliminate the need for travel bans, they don't eliminate the need for business closures, they don't eliminate the need for lockdowns, they don't eliminate the need for masking. Officially, we're told that, although we know the mask has a huge amount of problems with it. Again, so shouldn't we ask, what is the CV19 injection actually doing? What's it actually about? Why isn't the population asking these questions?
Power and control.
And preparing for the already very advanced collapse of the planet's life support systems, the planet that can no longer support populations.
Sure seems like it. I'm sure seems like it. Yes.
We just need to put that in statistical form. Again, we've lost. In the case of global insect populations, GeoengineWatch.org was the first large source to publish a collapse of terrestrial insect populations in Northern California based on our work with former Forest Service and Fish and Game biologists. An 80 to 90% collapse in terrestrial insects. We had academia trying to marginalize that work and that conclusion. Now we have academia admitting it's completely true. I encourage listeners to search insect apocalypse. We have mainstream science sources around the globe acknowledging insect population crashes all over the globe, 80 to 90%, aquatic and terrestrial insects. And my question would be this. How long do people think we are going to survive as a species, the human race, when the insects can't even make it? Is that not a good question?
My God, yes. Good question.
And they relate this to the bees. Well, let's tie the bees into the equation now. On the bees, and many people know that the bees are collapsing. You certainly know that, I'm sure. And seem very in tune. So we have peer-reviewed study to prove bees are dying of symptoms that resemble Alzheimer's and dementia in a human being because they're packed full of aluminum. Bees that are 1,000 miles away from any urban setting are packed full of aluminum. Where's that aluminum coming from? Aluminum is a primary element in climate engineering patents. We have the world's most recognized geoengineers stating their goal of dispersing from jet aircraft 10 to 20 million tons of aluminum nanoparticulates in disguise annually. Why would they use aluminum? Because aluminum is very reflective, and the goal of solar radiation management is to reflect some of the sun's incoming thermal energy. What else does this do? Of course, it contaminates everything on the ground, every breath we take. It has unbelievably devastating effects on the entire web of life, and these particles in the atmosphere are destroying the ozone layer, another existential threat, and these particles trap more heat than they deflect overall. This is the epitome of human insanity, is it not? Is this not the pharmaceutical industrial approach to planet Earth?
Absolutely. Dr. David Keith from Harvard is the one who said that, 10 to 20 million tons a year. I emailed the guy and called him out on that, and I have on my email, in writing, in his words, directly from him, him denying it 100% that he ever said that. And it's on video when he did say it. He was lying through his teeth.
Yeah, he is, and I have if listeners, if they search, it should show up with Dane Wigginton, David Keith. I think it would still show up in that. Google may have deleted that heading, but the video is still out there. It's my confrontation with Dr. Keith, and after listening to a three-and-a-half-hour presentation he gave at an international geoengineering conference, I confronted Dr. Keith with this question. Have you analyzed the effect of dumping 10 million tons of aluminum nanoparticulates in the sky? His first response was, we've studied the amount of atmospheric particulates. A little bit more won't hurt. I'm paraphrasing. And then my follow-up question was, and I was banned from future conferences after this confrontation with Dr. Keith, but my follow-up question to him was, well, those particles aren't aluminum nanoparticulates. Have you studied aluminum nanoparticulates? He said, let me be more careful. We haven't studied alumina. Could terrible things happen tomorrow? We don't know. What kind of a scientist would propose this, and having not even studied the obvious toxicological effects of aluminum being dumped into our air column? And, again, if we carry this further, it's not just an accident that this is toxic and devastating to populations. I mean, if we go back to the whole vaccination scenario that from 1975 to date and the devastating effects that that has clearly had on our children, on society as a whole, degrading populations and degrading their cognitive function, and we look at what's happening in our skies, and we know that those in power have long since stated the need to control and reduce populations, why would we think that this is anything other than an intended scenario? Your thoughts?
It can't be otherwise. Yeah, it cannot be otherwise. I went out, this was years ago, in a pretty heavy rainstorm and took a container and set it out in the driveway so there was no runoff from a tree or the rooftop or anything else, and collected fresh rainwater. I sent it to Waters Agricultural Laboratory. They have a few different branches. I sent it to one of their branches to have it analyzed to see what was in it. And guess what it came back as showing? Aluminum, strontium, and barium, among other things. They're in the sky. They came down with the raindrops. Aluminum.
Yeah, which means it's in the air column. And you have so-called experts trying to claim that because aluminum is such an abundant element in Earth's strata that we should expect it to be everywhere. That's a blatant, glaring lie. Aluminum, for those that don't know, does not exist in the environment in free form. It is always bonded to other elements. If it's in free form, that means it's been mined, refined, and dispersed in some manner. So it's not there without that process being done. So clearly this is not a natural phenomenon in any way, shape, or form. I'm close to being out of time. I'm very grateful you joined us for this entire span, Anonymous. Thank you for as a medical individual and with your expertise and your input on the vaccine scenario and the experimental nature of that, the risks it poses. What would you state in parting? What would you advise the population to do in regard to the vaccine, as far as gaining knowledge of what it really is and the dangers it poses?
America's Founding Doctors is a good resource. I would be prepared quickly to formally invoke your legal and constitutional rights and be prepared to legally stand up against medical tyranny, because it's coming if we don't stand up against it.
Sound advice. Thank you very much for joining us. And
yes, sir.
We'll
hope to
connect again. Take care. I'm almost out of time on this broadcast. Very grateful for Anonymous for calling in, especially with a medical background, very helpful information to share. Many feel helpless with what's unfolding right now, that the challenges are so immense that there's nothing as individuals they can do, and that's simply not true. All of us have an immense amount of personal power if we would simply exercise that power. And arming yourself with credible data is core to that, because people shut down. If you tend to try to convey certain very dire and unpleasant facts verbally, it tends to shut people down. Their defenses go up. They don't hear a word you say. But if you can pass on credible printed data, that is profoundly more effective, and especially if there's pictures to go with that. In the case of climate engineering, having the photos to go with the data, as the proverb goes, a picture is worth a thousand words. We try to provide this data at geoengineeringwatch.org. We have printed materials on the homepage of our website available for our approximate cost of producing and shipping, 20-page fact and photo summary booklet. We've distributed about 250,000 of those. We have a single or one-page front and back flyer. It's two sides. We've distributed about 2.2 million of those, actually, 2,200,000 is about the total we've distributed the flyer in page inserts and so forth. So we put them in newspaper inserts, some 50,000 at a time in circulation. But having this data is makes it profoundly easier to wake people up to what's unfolding once they understand how far the train is off the rails and that we're facing near-term existential threats. We're in a fight for life right now, period. It's not just CV-19, and that's not going away. Our former reality is not coming back. But if we stand together, we can yet salvage some part of the planet's life support systems and expose the insanity behind all of this. If you're in the Reading area, go to Orchard Nutrition, talk to the staff in the vitamin section. They have geoengineeringwatch.org materials there. We leave for free. We ask that you please circulate those, share them with others. Again, we have about four dozen copies of the 9/11 Architects and Engineers commercial DVD that if you turn that documentary on, I assure you, you would not turn it off, and it will alter your perspective on everything if you will take the time to view that. So the bottom line is we must remember that we are not helpless. Those in power are not gods. If we stand together, they couldn't do what they do without the active or passive support of the majority population. So we must stand together. And on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org, for further instructions, see the activist suggestions link. Very detailed instructions on how each of us can play our part in what's unfolding, and we can make a difference for the better. Make every day count. This is Dane Wigginton with
geoengineeringwatch.org.